Good morning. Greeting in the name of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God today. I'll be reading from Psalms chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading in Spanish. And Trevor will read in English. Salmos capítulo 8, which dice así: Oh Jehová, Señor nuestro, cuán glorioso es tu nombre en toda la tierra. Ha puesto tu gloria sobre los cielos. De la boca de los niños y los que maman, fundaste la fortaleza a causa de tus enemigos, para hacer callar al enemigo y al vengativo. Cuando veo tus cielos, obra de tus dedos, la luna y las estrellas que son tus formaste, digo, ¿qué es el hombre para que tengas de la memoria, y el hijo de hombre para que lo visites? Le has hecho poco menor que los ángeles y los y lo coronaste de gloria y de honra. Le hiciste, señores, sobre las obras de tus manos, todo lo pusiste debajo de sus pies, ovejas y bueyes, todos ellos, y asimismo las bestias del campo, las aves de los cielos y los peces del mar, todo cuando pasa por los senderos del mar. Oh Jehová, Señor nuestro, cuán grande es tu nombre en toda la tierra.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babies and infants. You have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Have you been doing this?
6 hours.
6 hours? Wow. And here's your walkway.
Our team lead, Will Mill.
Who's Will? I think it's William.
I think it might be William. He said it sounded like windmill. So windmill. We're settling on Will Mill.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Hope you got a small taste of what we experienced over the week. It truly was an amazing week. And as we get started with our presentation, I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you to all who were praying for us. We definitely felt your prayers throughout the week. And thank you to all who financially supported us. One thing going into this trip, you know, I was really nervous about the cost for our students. It was $2,200 per student. And I will say that almost every student from Stanton Alliance Church that went on this trip was almost fully funded. I think there was only one student who had a couple hundred dollars left to raise, and he wasn't able to beat a lot of the fundraising. All the students who went to all the fundraising things and were here were almost all paid off. Some had a balance of like $20, but from $2,200 down to $20, that was amazing, incredible, and thanks to your generosity from this church. We really, really, really appreciate that. We're extremely blessed by your giving. So as you can see, we had James read Psalm 8 for us in Spanish, and that was kind of a taste of what we experienced all week. Pretty much everything that we said and did was in Spanish and then translated in English. And we were really blessed to have James with us on our trip. The song that you heard on the video, the overlaid song, is actually Psalm 8 in Spanish. It's a song that they sang, the Ninawashi students. I'll talk more about that in a minute, but the song they sang throughout the week, and kind of a special song. And so that's why I had us read Psalm 8 to begin. But before I dive into our presentation, the first thing that I'd like us to do is have all of our students stand up and come on up here. It's students and adults, actually, because the one neat thing about this trip was that it was not all youth group students. As you can see, we have quite a few number of adults. We actually had 12 teens, 12 high school students, and 13 adults go on the trip. So we had a good mixture. But the first thing that we're going to do right now is we're going to sing a little song, two songs for you. And I'm not sure if the lyrics are on the screen, Jason. No, we try to put them on the screen, but it became microscopic. And they're already in Spanish, so I didn't want to make it too difficult for you. But we did a VBS, two VBSs during the week, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But during our VBSs, we sang a couple of songs. We sang Jesus Loves Me, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, and This Little Light of Mine. But we sang it all in Spanish. And our students, even though if they don't necessarily know Spanish, we all learn these songs in Spanish. So we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me to you in Spanish. And then we also have a song called Oh Come to the Altar, which is by Elevation Worship, that we sang in the church service that we went to down in Ecuador. And we're going to sing that song second. So you're welcome to sing along with us if you know it in Spanish, or you can sing in English if you want to. But we're going to start by singing Jesus Loves Me.
Sí, Cristo. camino estás, sin saber hacia dónde mirar, Cristo nos llama. En ante su trono, el Padre te recibirá con sangre preciosa. Jesús coró nuestra maldad. Yeah.
So that song we actually sang in a church service. There was this really small Alliance church in the town of Huaricocha, Ecuador, which was right down the road from where we served. And we doubled the congregation when we went there. But it was just a really neat experience. I actually preached at the church, and James translated for me. And then we got a chance to do some worship. They led us in worship in Spanish, and then we sang our song. And it was just a really neat experience to be able to join them in worship on that Sunday. So while we were in Ecuador, Jason, you can flip to the next slide there. We served at, actually, one more, I think it is. Yes, this one. We served at the Ninawachi Mission Institute, which is a seminary in Ecuador that trains local Ecuadorians on how to be pastors. They have it's a two-year Bible program, and it's both relational and study. So they train them in-depthly on the Bible. They do classes like hermeneutics, homiletics, exegetical classes on different books of the Bible. And then they also take them out into the community to do ministry with their surrounding areas. So it's a really neat training school. And people come from all over the country of Ecuador to study at this school. One neat thing about this was all of the classes and everything were in Spanish. But Spanish was not the only language represented there. There was many other languages represented at the school. Kofan, what was the other one that started with a K? Quechua, yep. And other indigenous languages that people came into the school knowing, and they had to learn Spanish to study at the school. So while we were learning Spanish, some of the students were learning it as well, which was kind of interesting to be there in doing that. The cool thing about the school is that it's not an actual college, but it's accredited now to where students that come to the school can transfer their Bible credits to other seminaries later on down the road if they'd like to do that. But there were about 10 to 15 Ecuadorian students that were studying at the school while we were there, along with about 5 or 6 Ninawachi staff members. And there was only there was one American couple who's the missionaries there, and there was one Inkalink global outreach coach that was there. But other than those two folks, everybody else that were there spoke Spanish. And so we had to rely on James a lot to translate for us. And then whenever James wasn't around, we had to use our phones with Google Translate to have conversations. And we also had a couple of the students knew more Spanish than they thought they knew. We were able to comprehend some things and help to translate as well. But it was just a really neat experience being there at the school. You know, God does amazing things when you're not able to communicate very well. You know, God, the glory of God transcends across all cultures. And even though we weren't able to communicate as well as we had hoped, we still were able to build deep relationships with students there, which is a really amazing thing. One thing that was neat about this trip was that there was a neat balance between us doing work projects and also doing relational ministry. So Jason, you can go to the next slide. Actually, the next slide after that. So one of our big projects for the week was building a retaining wall. And the government of Ecuador actually is building a road that goes right through the middle of the Ninawachi campus. And so they were trying to build this retaining wall so that the soil on the half where all their dining hall is and everything doesn't erode. So they had these wire cages, and our job was just to throw rocks into these cages. It was a lot of busy work, a lot of manual labor, but it was also really fun to do that. And these students worked really, really hard doing that. And one thing about being in a different culture is a lot of times they have different ways of doing things and different ways of doing construction projects than we might have in America. And part of being on a mission trip is just going along with what they want us to do, even though we don't feel like it's the right way to do it. So the process was kind of dragged out a little bit, and it was stalled because there weren't enough supplies. But while we were doing it, we still worked really hard and throwing these rocks into these cages. Another one of our projects that we did was painting. They had a upper room of their dining hall that they're trying to transform into a chapel assembly area. And so we had a team of students that were there painting. And that was also a challenge because we had to wait a while for supplies and paint. But eventually they got that whole upper room painted and it looks wonderful. And another team of students were constructing a water tower. So a water supply on the campus water was all supplied by several water tanks they had throughout the camp. And they had a need to build another water tower. And so we had a couple of our team was building these concrete poles, laying the foundation for what will eventually be a new water tower there on the campus. And then other than that, several of our teams helped to burn brush, chuck some dirt in wagons and do other things. And there was, I think it was course, Kate, I had one morning, one of the guys who was working there said he needed help with a project real quick, and I was right there. I saw Kate walking by, and I said, hey, Kate, can you help him real quick? I'm going to go do something else. And then Kate got stuck on that for 2 days. What I thought was going to be like a couple-minute project, so sorry about that, Kate. But she did great. I was also keeping busy. I wasn't just supervising. So we had a lot of work projects. We worked very hard. It was hot. It was rainy. But it was also fun work. Another one of our projects, other than the work projects, the second thing that we did was a VBS ministry. And the VBS ministry, we actually came in with a plan. And we came in with a plan that we were going to do one VBS with the same group of kids over a period of 3 days. And we got there, and they said, actually, you have a really big group. We're going to need you to split up. We're going to need you to split up into two groups. I said, okay, we can do that. And they said, okay, we're going to need you to split up into seven groups. So instead of doing one VBS in one location, we split up into seven different groups and went to seven different communities with three people in each group and did little house VBSs throughout the community. And it was a really neat experience. I'm going to talk more about that a little bit later. But these were actually houses of families that the Ninawashi students had already built relationships with, and we got to come in and join them in what God was already doing. And some of these groups didn't even actually have translators with them. The Ninawashi students spoke Spanish to the kids, and we spoke English, but we kind of had to rely on our phones a little bit to navigate the in-between there. But it was just a really neat experience to be able to do that and to minister to those kids that were already being ministered by the Ninawashi students. So I'm going to share some more a little bit later, but what I'd like to do now is just get a chance for you to get to know our team. And so I'm going to pass the microphone down. I want to have each person here just say their name and just real briefly your favorite part of the week.
Hello. My name is Josh Knuckles. My favorite part of the week would be, we called it our Choza time, but it was like our debrief worship time, and like in the morning and the evenings, just getting able to worship in a different culture and a different language was an amazing experience. It was awesome.
I'm Sheila Fair, and so many things during the week, but I'll just give a fun thing. I was working on driving stakes into the ground, and the girl that I was with, she was using like these big rocks to like pound the stake down in the ground, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I went and found a sledgehammer, and it was like this light bulb went out, like she was like so excited, you know, when she saw me drive that stake in like three hits, you know, kind of thing, because it was just so much easier, but it was just so cool. But anyway, the interaction with the students, the relationships that we built, that was my favorite part.
I'm Lynn Vogan. It's hard to choose a favorite. I really enjoyed seeing a different part of God's creation, all the different plants and insects and just the beauty that we were in.
My name is Faith. My favorite part was the house-to-house VBSs we did.
I'm Mike Van Dyke. Mine would be the same as Faith's. Actually, that was our group, myself, Faith, and my daughter Audrey. We had a chance to go out to visit the people that the Ninawashi students, ministry students, were building relationships with. So this is a house where it was like a 40-minute drive from the Ninawashi seminary, where the students, the Ninawashi students, would go out every week or every other week and minister to this family, teach them the Bible, and just build relationships with them. So we got to see the fruit of that and just the rapport that they had with these folks out in the middle of nowhere in Central America. Where did we go? South America? Thank you. I don't know where you guys went, but just seeing God raise up people that you will not see till you get in heaven. and just seeing him work in places that you couldn't find on a map if you had to. It was just awesome to see his work.
My name is James Spinnis. There's so many things about this trip that just naming one is kind of hard, but just being able to be a part of this team with the youths and seeing them interact and work with other kids from a different region and their willingness and selflessness, that was, for me, was one of the best part of the trip.
My name is Madison Graham, and my favorite thing was just getting to know the students at Nanawachi.
My name is Kate Adams, and I just say being able to, I guess, just work alongside our group and getting to know each other better.
My name is Carly Knuckles, and it's hard to choose a favorite, but I would say just practicing Spanish and communicating with people there and being immersed in their culture. On a funny note, I did tell somebody happy birthday instead of I'm sorry, but we worked it all out.
My name is Nathan Fitzgerald. I think my favorite was, there was a Nanawachi student, her name is Flor, and she is Kofan, and so she was there learning Spanish and going to school. And what was really fun is she started hanging out with our group, the paint group, and it was really neat to see and teach her how to paint. I found out later she had never painted before, and so she was just willing to jump in and willing to learn, and that was really fun. But then on top of that, she was in our Vacation Bible School VBS group, and just her willingness to step out and lead, even though she was making as many mistakes as we were trying to communicate sometimes, and it was just really neat to see her willingness to put herself out there to share the love of God with people.
My name is McKenna Schmidt, and my favorite part of the trip was meeting all the Nanawachi students and getting to know them and just grow relationships with them.
My name is Caleb Graham, and my favorite part of the trip was the debriefing and the devotion time in the morning and night, and just getting to know the Nanawachi students through fellowship with them and God's Word.
My name is Caitlin Graham, and my favorite part was being able to meet and get to know everybody who went on this trip there and the students and staff at Nanawachi.
My name is Trevor Knuckles. My favorite part was the worship. I got to play the worship. I also liked having 10 to 20 minutes after working a long, hard day to practice. I mean, it really helped the songs out. You know, it gave it a new touch. But yeah, that was fun. That was me.
My name is Colby Schmidt, and the whole week was so awesome. But my favorite part was probably just playing soccer with students at Nanawachi, as well as the worship. Like Trevor said, the worship was awesome.
My name is Caleb Moulter, and my favorite part was probably doing the VBS with all the kids.
My name is Emily Vogan, and my favorite part was honestly the work projects. One of them was we got to clean out a pond with dull machetes, and it's full of grass, and you're knee-deep in disgusting mud. It was amazing.
My name is Audrey Van Dyke. My favorite my favorite part was probably the VBS days, and that Psalm 8 song was just incredible, because we couldn't sing it at all, but just hearing everybody else sing it was just, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Hi, my name is Amelia, and I would have to say my favorite part of the week was getting to do like volleyball and soccer, just sharing a meal with the Nanawachi students, because that's things that we can do here, like by ourselves, but getting to do it and having to speak a different language and different things is just really cool.
Emily mentioned the fish pond, and normally when you think about cleaning out a fish pond, they said that was one of the projects, and we were kind of like wondering how that was going to work. How do you clean out a fish pond? And normally your first go-to tool for that isn't a machete in America, so, but that was a fun project. I've asked a couple of students and adults to give a more in-depth testimony about how God was working on their trip. And so if you are one of those folks that are sharing, if you kind of stand in the middle, I think you're all kind of... Just pass the mic down here.
Just wanted to share a couple of things. One of the really exciting things about me going to Nanawachi is that in 2013 and 14, those two summers, Brandon went. And he actually helped and build the school. And so, and when you see the sign for the school, the Nanawachi and the spear under it and the Inkle Ink, Brandon painted that. And it was really interesting that they had repainted that building, but they painted around what he had painted, which I thought was kind of cool. And the guy that was working there, Gideon, who was helping us a lot, him and his wife Becky, but Brandon served with Gideon in 2013 and 14. So that was kind of a reconnection with him. So it was really cool for me to go and see what Brandon had done and where he had worked and that kind of thing. The greatest joy for me was to hear the testimonies, both from our students and also from some of the Nanawachi students. I love to hear, and I'm sure a lot of us would agree with this, how people pass from darkness into light. I love to hear that. The work, the redeeming work that God does and how he takes somebody right where they are and he changes their life. And so that was so exciting for me, the best part of the trip in that regard, because I loved hearing those stories. But one of the things that, encouraging things that our leader, Johan, was sharing, there was four different things, but one of them was give 110%. And every time he said that, it reminded me of the story in Mark 12 with the widow's mite. You know, our 110% is different for different people. Some of us can give more physically than others. But the important thing is that we give all we can. And so, and then we let God come in and provide the rest. But everybody gave all they could, literally everything. At the end of a day, we were exhausted, but everybody gave all they could, and God made it enough. And we actually did projects. They were making up projects for us to do because we were working so hard and got so many things done. But it was just such a blessing to work alongside them.
Psalm 105, verse 4 says, look to the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. And we got to see that how, as we looked to the Lord for strength, that he provided it. As someone already mentioned, we started and ended the day with worship as just the big group, everyone there. And a big part of that was prayer. And we would pray for the work projects of the day. We would give thanks to the Lord. We pray for wisdom. And that was a unifying experience for us and gave us strength in the Lord as we went out in our day. And we saw God answer prayer. Several of us had either existing health concerns or pain that we might have been dealing with here, but as we went through the week, those health concerns and pain issues were not there. And we know that was the grace of God, even though we were working hard and God upheld us. We also prayed for specific conversations, you know, pray, Lord, that you would give me an opportunity to talk with this person or pray with this person, and God opened those doors. And so we saw him work in that way. And when our bus was stuck on the road for many hours and we couldn't get through and it was getting dark and it was beyond our power or any human power for us to get through, as we prayed and acknowledged the Lord's work through the week and gave him praise and honor, he healed the road and he made a path for us to get back safely. The ministry of Nanawachi is in a dark place. The forces of darkness are hard at work there, but God is at work and he is stronger. And we got to see that, especially as we went out into the communities and saw the staff and students work among them and see them really just come alive as they taught the students the word and interacted with them. That was just really a blessing. And I think that something that can change in my life is just to continue that habit of prayer, ask God for opportunities and seek for them. Also to continue praying for the students and staff there as they continue to be a light in that darkness.
I wanted to share how I saw God working this week, and I'm going to do that by sharing a story, and Lynn briefly mentioned it, but I'm going to go into detail. So we were taking the bus to Quito from the Nawachi. It was like a big tour bus, and it was like a six-hour ride. And then a few hours in, we got stopped, so we got off the bus, walked around. Then we got back on the bus, we went again, and this time we were stopped for much longer. We waited many hours in that town, and we eventually got dinner and waited. We boarded the bus and prayed, and then we heard the news. We were stopped because of a landslide, and the road had just been cleared, but it was damaged. And it wasn't safe for the bus to go on because it would be too heavy for the road. So we waited on the bus and we prayed some more. And then we decided that we would split up into taxis, cross the bridge, and then regroup on the other side and take a different bus on to our destination. So as we are pulling stuff off of the bus and unloading ourselves and piling all the suitcases up, we hear that the road is actually safe for the bus. So then we begin to frantically throw our suitcases back on the bus and scramble back on so we can cross the bridge before it's declared unsafe again. So then we crossed the bridge and everything was fine, but I learned many important lessons. The Lord had kept us safe, and he enabled us to reach our destination safely. And even more than that, the experience showed me some of his character. And he taught all of us to rely on him, to trust him, and to realize that he was always in control. And then for me, I already knew all those things in my head, but he gave me an opportunity to see them in real life. I was able to personally see him work, and it was an amazing effect and one that I'm never going to forget.
I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to go on this trip. God has shown me many things through the experience. First of all, I gained a better understanding of what the universal church looks like. Going to a church in the jungles of Ecuador and taking communion with other believers on the other side of the earth can really broaden your perspective. Secondly, I also saw a bit more like what it was to trust God. I saw God at work in multiple instances during the trip, from the testimonies of the ways he had been working even before we came to the miraculous way that certain events were ordered. One of those instances was on the way home in the bus. In that type of situation, the only thing we could do was pray. And like Faith talked about, God made a way for that. The timing for that was just really miraculous, and this and other instances along the trip just helped me to see more clearly what it is to trust God. However, with all these things, there is one other thing that has challenged me throughout this trip and continued to challenge me as I came home, and it needs a little explanation. So when we first got to Ecuador, our group leader informed us that we had unknowingly signed up for a 5-part contract, like Sheila mentioned. The 5 parts of this contract were as follows. Choose joy, be here now, give 110%, and challenge by choice, and love covers all. And our group leader challenged us to work our best at fulfilling each of these points throughout our stay, being joyful, present, hardworking, stepping out of our comfort zone, and remembering the importance of love. However, of these 5, the one that really stuck out to me was to choose joy. So with all the work projects we were doing, I tried to work on choosing joy not only during the trip, but have also felt challenged to continue in it, trying to choose joy in hard situations even as I am back from Ecuador. So these are just some of the things that the opportunity of going on the missions trip has taught me.
I would say for me, I think one of the most beautiful parts of this trip was just being able to serve other believers. Which is just as important as serving the lost. So that was really unique and fun. And even just being able to worship, even though we didn't understand each other half the time, we just got to worship together, and that was really amazing. And then For me, just one of the challenges of coming back is just the realization of, for me, it's very easy to get, you know, back home, being comfortable where I'm at. But even though it's very important to serve the lost in a different country, it's just as important to serve the lost as here, and to just step out of my comfort zone and do that.
So some ways that I saw God at work was I saw that God meld our team together to share God's love to the Ninawachi staff and students through a lot of good hard work. I never heard anyone complain, but instead I saw joyful servant hearts. This was a testimony to God at work because it was hot, humid, and filled with ants. I heard God's love for people and in turn for each other as our students in the Ninawachi once shared at our testimony times. God is alive and he is working in hearts and lives. It was really cool to hear that from our students and their students. I saw God help us reach across language and cultural barriers in sharing his love with the Ninawachi students and staff, as well as in the communities when we did VBS. And I feel like we were just really blessed with wonderful times of relationship building on our own team. Some things God taught me, through hearing testimonies from our own students and the Ninawachi students, I was reminded that God works in and through our times of hardship or suffering more than he would by just taking those away.
I saw that God provides supernaturally for his work to be done. For me, I kind of have some carpal tunnel issues from time to time, but I had none of those there, even though I was using my hands quite a lot. I also have some gluten sensitivities, but I just ate whatever I was fed and didn't have any problems. So I was thinking, maybe I'm healed, but I've had problems since I've been back. So it was apparently a brief miracle. So anyway. And none of us got sick, which is something we prayed for, with the exception of poor Colby, who had altitude sickness at the end. Sorry about that, Colby. And we had safety for all, and we were doing some crazy stuff with equipment and stuff, and no flight issues, so that was awesome, too. And also just saw that God has made beautiful people all across this planet that he wants to know him. So how has it challenged me to live differently? To be bold and to share my life, and to let God do his part. I saw the Ninawachi students step out in their own communities and share time, love, fun, and God's word. I can do the same and have fun doing it. We worked hard, but we had a lot of fun. This is almost done. And also that God invites me into his work and wants me to pray for his empowerment, direction, and success. I saw the Ecuadorian believers be more serious about their relationship to God and knowledge of his word and in prayer. So make that more important in my life. And that he wants me to pray for our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world for their testimony, safety, boldness, and relationship with him. We heard a church service in another language and then shared a sweet time of communion with our brothers and sisters in Ecuador.
I don't know. Our time in Ecuador was wonderful. It was great. There were many funny stories that took place, things that I will remember from Mike hunting roosters with sticks to Alex, one of the Ninawachi leaders, talking about Coke all the time and trying to hide it from his wife, Coca-Cola. And then also, just the fact that we had just fun conversations with our Ninawachi students that we were interacting with. Interacting with the students, the VBS kids, and they're running up and jerking us down to the ground, and you feel like you're being mauled by these cute little kids, and you don't know what to do, because you're like, but it's great at the same time. To the bus ride, where we got stuck, and there was grounds to be concerned in many ways. In many ways, impatience could have arose. Anger, frustration, snipping at each other, but you know, none of that was there. And there was a willingness to trust the Lord and to see how he would lead and how to get us back to the city. To the airplane ride back when there was pretty bad turbulence and people started to, it dropped pretty quickly and a lady got hurt. I was blown away by the quick actions of the students that were behind me and some of the leaders that were behind me who quickly turned and scooped up the little girl and put the little girl on, Andrew put her on his lap and held her and gave her candy. And then they quickly prayed with the lady who got her knee hurt. And it was an amazing moment just to see God's love poured out, but also at the same time that it's already been said, but the joy of the Lord being chosen, choosing joy. It's not choosing our joy that we fabricate. It's not that, because if we fabricate our own joy, ultimately when things get rough, it begins to fail. It's a fabrication. But truly choosing the joy of the Lord, it says in Nehemiah 8:10, it'll give you strength. And I saw that this past 10 days when we were in Ecuador. And it was amazing to see. I was so proud of the students who were willing to jump in, to do new things, to try different things, to go to a VBS without a translator and go, I have no idea what I'm doing. But they still went. I was excited to see, not really excited to see this happen, but people would get their fingers smashed. And they'd be like, my finger's smashed, look at that. And they would go back to work. There's this sense of trusting in God and leaning into his presence and allowing his spirit to give them what they needed in the moment. And what I pray is that when, as we're back here, and as it's been already stated, as we rest in the comfort of this world that we live in an American society where we have a lot of things at our fingertips that are comfortable, that we would still choose to rest in God's presence, rest in his joy, rest in the love that he gave us in the jungle, but we would pour it out to the people around us. That we'd have the same attitude and the same drive and same character that we had in the jungle here in the Shenandoah Valley and in Stanton. So it was great. It was a wonderful time.
Hey, guys. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how the Lord is working in my life and what he was teaching me while we were in Ecuador. So recently I've been struggling a little bit to see God's faithfulness in my life, but he really just revealed to me on the trip that he is always faithful and that he will always be faithful. And one of the big ways that he revealed his faithfulness to me and that I was able to see it was through answered prayers. And a lot of people already mentioned some of these, but one of the big ones was the prayer for safety. There are so many things that could have gone wrong, so many ways people could have been seriously injured, but God really just had his hand of protection on us, and we were all safe, and including the Ninawachi staff and students, they were also safe while we were there. And the second one was I really felt the Lord pressing on my heart to pray with this one specific student. So one night I went outside and I prayed that God would allow this student to walk by so that we could have a conversation that leads to prayer. And he did walk by and start a conversation with me, and we eventually got to pray together. And that was a really special moment, even though he couldn't understand what I was saying and I couldn't understand what he was saying. It was just really special to be able to pray together and for each other. And that just really shows me that God does hear me and he's listening. Another way we got to see the Lord's faithfulness is through the lives of the Ninawachi students. They all come from really hard places, but hearing their testimonies, we were able to see how God has brought them through that and just redeemed their lives, and he has revealed his truth to them and allowed them to see him. I also got the opportunity to share my testimony with them, which was also a really cool experience to just be able to share what God has done in my life with the students from across the world. So Ecuador was a really good experience for me. I do feel the Lord calling me to the mission field at some point, so it was really cool to just have that firsthand experience in that culture, and I didn't realize like how much I love this culture until I was immersed in it, and my love for these people just grew beyond what I could have imagined, and that was part of the reason why it was hard for a lot of us to leave, is because we just love these people so much, and we grew in our relationships with them a lot. So, also just being able to worship with them and praise God together. Something that really stood out to me was their love for Jesus. It was just so evident. You could just feel it. You could see it. You could hear it while you were there. Just their love for Jesus is so evident, and their light for Jesus shines bright. So, yeah.
I'd agree totally that God was at work on this trip. And just from the start of the trip, I found it amazing just in praying with God, that the same God that we worship here is the same God whom we were communing with in Ecuador and whom we could find fellowship with the believers. And it just made the reality of God's presence so much greater. And just throughout the week, we had the contract, which several people have already mentioned, choose joy, love covers all, give 110%, be here now, and challenged by choice. In this contract, it was kind of hard to follow at times, but it also, just as we all stepped up to trying to fulfill the terms of the contract, which could only happen through God's work through us, just realizing that this contract should be carried down to the rest of our life. I thought it was amazing, the Choza times, the devotional. Just starting each day and ending each day in God's word was something that I don't always do, but realizing that that's how we find our best in this world. And it's easy to make excuses about how we can't find time for God's word because we're trying to do other things. But in Ecuador, we'd start each day with an hour in God's word, and we'd end each day likewise. And we got a lot done, as several people had said. And it just realizing that a lot of the ways we find rest in this world are not really restful at all. And just, we need to find rest. God impressed on me in Psalm 139, it talks about how God knows when we sit down and when we rise up. And that's when we sit down to rest in God's word and when we rise up to go out and give our all for God's glory. One final thing was God showed me Psalm 119:32, which said, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. And over this trip, I think all of our hearts were enlarged. We had to learn some Spanish. We learned to love people from other cultures. We had to trust God in lots of hard situations. And I feel like we were all running in the way that he's given us over that trip. And it just continuing, even after this trip, to pray that our hearts may stay enlarged, that he would continue to enlarge our heart, and that we could run in the way of his commandments and just taste the wonderful life that he's given us.
Let's give all of our team a round of applause. Yes, ma'am, let's see. You've heard the many ways that God was working. Jason, if you want to go to the next slide, there should be a group picture, maybe a couple. Yeah, right here. This is good. You've heard the many ways through our team how God was working. I'd like to give a couple of my own thoughts. What has God been teaching me through this trip? First, trusting that God's plan is always better than my plan. I mentioned earlier how I came in with this idea that we were going to do one VBS over 3 days with the same group of students. And we got there and they said, okay, you're going to do 7 VBSs with 7 different groups. And I remember thinking, what in the world are we going to do with this? But as Carlene had mentioned, not one single student complained, but they jumped right into that thinking, okay, this is a challenge, but we're going to do this. Challenge by choice, like the contract said. And also, you know, I had a plan that we were going to do this, but God's plan was that we would go out, and if we would have done the VBS in one location, I was told we would have had maybe 20 to 30 kids come to us. But because we went out to 7 different communities, a couple of these houses we went to had 15 to 20 kids alone at their houses. So we were able to reach far more kids than we could imagine by just going out and being willing to go out and do that. I was thinking about the scripture of Jesus sending out the 12 disciples and then later sending out the 72 and thinking about how much they would have probably preferred to be walking with Jesus and having him lead them in ministry. But when he sent out the 12, they were able to maximize their kingdom impact. And they were able to greatly spread the gospel by just being willing to go out. You know, one thing that I often say to our students whenever we go on these trips is participate, don't anticipate. Because you can anticipate everything and possibly you can never imagine, question, wondering what's going to happen. But if you participate, focus on going with the flow and focus on participating in what God is doing, the trip will go much smoother. So we could not anticipate that this is what happened, but we could participate and be willing and go and know that God's plan is better. Also, when you get in a large group with 25 people doing a VBS, it can be easy to kind of stand in the background and let others do the songs and let others do the skits and stuff. But when you're in a group of three people with 15 kids that don't know English and you have to really try your best to sing, you have to sit and just belt out those songs and do it and stretch yourself out of your comfort zone, and we did, and it was a lot of fun. So we just had to be willing and participate in what God was doing. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of God that will stand." God's plan is always better than our plans. And secondly, this is just a reminder of just, the trip was a reminder to me of just how mighty God is and how much he cares for his children. Many have talked about the bus situation, but I just want to add just, you know, how marvelous that was that God answered that prayer. You know, we were stuck on the road, but each time that we were stuck in traffic, we were stuck next to a place or a gas station or restaurant where we could eat or use the restroom. That was amazing. And also, we were stopped, and as we were stopped, us adults kind of came out, and we were told that the bus was not going to be able to pass until the next day. And so we were out there, the adults were trying to figure out a new plan. We were trying to arrange taxis. James actually made hotel reservations for us at a local hotel. We even were looking up flights at a different airport, trying to see if we could go the other way, go to a different airport. We were out there trying to organize a plan while we were stuck. But I remember Gideon, who was the leader of our group, he told us to go back on the bus and pray. And he told the students and a couple of adults who were with them to go out there and pray, in the bus and pray. And I remember in my heart kind of thinking, we don't have time for that. We got to figure out a plan here. We got to figure this thing out. But it was as soon as they started praying, and right after they were done praying, we heard the bus driver say, "Let's go, let's go. Time to go." They opened up the road. It was as soon as they stopped praying that God opened up the road for us to go. He literally moved the mudslide for us. I love what Lynn had mentioned earlier, that he healed the road. Just an amazing thing, how he answered prayers for us. Another amazing thing that God did during the week was they had a washer and dryer that weren't working, and they actually had asked us to bring a part for the dryer to fix it. And so Mike and I were working on the dryer to fix it during the week, and we found out that the part that they had us bring was not the right part. It was the actual motor of the dryer was getting really hot and burning, and to kind of fix that would have been a whole mess to try and diagnose it, and it was a really, really old dryer to begin with, and they had a washer also that was not fixable. So we decided that we were going to bless them with a new washer and dryer. And we had some money set aside for something like this, but I thought, why don't we take an offering from our group to see what we can come up with to buy them a new washer and dryer. And so I pulled our team aside, and I said, let's take up a cash offering. Whatever cash you were planning to spend on snacks or merchandise, take some of that and put it towards a new washer and dryer for the staff here. And so we took up a cash offering, and I did not know any of the prices. I looked up like general washer and dryer prices, but I did not look it up at the store that we went to, and took up a cash offering from our students. And the offering that was brought in from our team was $1,270 to bless them with a new washer and dryer. I went to the store, the appliance store in Quito, on the Friday, and I bought a washer and dryer, and the price for the washer and dryer that we bought was $1,279. Almost the exact price that our team had given. And that was incredible. And so I were able to use the extra funds that we had to buy them another dryer that they needed for their staff room. So we were able to bless them with two dryers and one washer that they desperately needed. So praise the Lord for that. That was incredible. And the one thing I've been thinking about that too is, you know, God doesn't just work miracles on mission trips. we realize it a lot when we're there because we have a kind of a heightened awareness of how he's working. But God has really challenged me to realize that God is working like this in our lives, but sometimes we just don't realize it because we're so caught up in living our busy lives and going through the mundane routines of life. But the God who did these things in Ecuador can do these things in our lives today. God still works wonders and miracles. Mission trips are not just an exception to how God works. He works in our lives and does amazing things when we yield and give ourselves to him and rely and trust in his power. He can and will work miracles in our life when we trust in him. The God who moved the mudslide and moved the road can move the mountains in our own life, whatever we're dealing with. So lastly, I just want to say how proud I am of our students. These students and adults just worked so hard throughout the week. They had a positive attitude all the time. It was a joy for me to see them trying to learn Spanish to communicate with the students. It was a joy for me to hear them to sing their songs and just to be willing to be flexible with whatever was there. We were in a completely different culture, a completely different landscape, but we had to adapt and be willing to go and do what we were told. And our students were so great at trying new things and being flexible. One neat thing was we went to one of the houses for VBS, and it was a customary drink they have in Ecuador is called the chicha. And if you're familiar with that, it is like a trying to think of a not so gross way to put it, but it's fermented spit essentially is what it is. It's like corn and wheat that they ferment by chewing it. They chew it and they spit it out and they brew it. And it's a customary drink that they serve to guests when they come to their house. So nobody else got served this except for my group. Me and Colby and Caitlin went to this house and we got served the chicha. And it was not a small little cup. It was a big cup. Tasted like stale orange juice with a little bit of vomit mixed in, maybe. But it was respectful to drink it. Our host said, "You need to drink this." Our Ninawashi student was with us, and he kind of looked at us with the eyes and said, "You have to drink this." So me and Colby and Caitlin actually, where's Caitlin? I think Caitlin actually really liked it. She just downed it in like one sip. Colby and I kind of struggled a little bit through it, but I think that's actually why Colby got sick. It wasn't the altitude sickness, it was the chicha. But anyways, I say all that to say I'm really proud of our students. I did not hear one complaint from them, but they were willing to jump in and say, okay, this is new, it's a little gross, but I'm going to try it, and I'm going to do it. And they did it, and that was awesome. So it was an amazing experience. So proud of our students and adults. Parents, you should be so proud of your students. They went. They worked their tails off. One of the Ecuadorians actually made the comment that, oh, these aren't city kids, are they? Because he realized how hard we were working. And so we're just so proud of this team here. And thank you again for all of your support. I'd like to have James and Emily kind of close the time in prayer.
Okay, so I'll be praying in English and James will pray in Spanish. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that this team and I had to go to Ecuador and to do your work there. I thank you for the experiences that we had. We learned so much about your love and your faithfulness and your presence and your willingness to answer our prayers. I pray that you would show us that more and more in our lives, that that would not just stay in Ecuador, but that would come with us in our hearts. I also thank you for the people at Ninawachi, for the blessing that they were to us. And we learned so much about your love through them. They love you so much. I pray that you would grow that in them. And I pray for each one of them that we met there. I can't remember all of them right now, but I pray for some of them by name, for Santiago, for Magali, for the little kids that were there, for Josie and Hallel and and for Abby. And I pray for Saul, and I pray for Saul, and he had a really hard time, God. I just pray he had to leave for some hard reasons. I just pray for that right now, because you're putting that on my heart right now. I pray for the students there, that they would continue to learn about you, that you would be with them in their studies. I pray that each morning they would get up and remember that you love them. I pray for Fabricio and Alex and all the people that we met there. They were just such a blessing. I thank you for the work that we were able to do. We got so much done. I thank you for the VBS time that we had with the kids. I pray that the seeds that we planted there would not be stagnant, but that they would grow, and that those kids would love you, that they would grow up to know you and hear your name continually. I just thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that it would go with us for a long time.
Jesucristo, Rey del Universo, a ti nos dirigimos en humilde oración. Mira con favor a todos los jóvenes que están con la esperanza para la iglesia y el mundo. Jesucristo, compañero de la juventud, bendice los caminos del descubrimiento y del discernimiento, tiempos entre tiempos de alegría y experiencia de dificultad, con el constante amor y apoyo de tu iglesia. Levantamos que tú levantes en vivo los corazones de todo tu pueblo. Concede que podamos caminar juntos, jóvenes y ancianos, para alimentar el entusiasmo, hacer germinar sueños, suscitar profecías y hacer florecer esperanza, Señor. Oramos para las personas que están en Inovachi. Recordamos que la obra que tú comenzaste sabe que va a llegar a acabar, aunque no estemos presentes, pero estamos en espíritu. Te damos gracias por tu protección. Te damos gracias que podemos ser llamados hijos de Dios y que todos somos una iglesia universal. Pero bendiciones para cada quien que esté aquí y los que no pueden estar. Tú sabrás la situación. Padre, te damos gracias que a ti podemos acudirnos y llamarte Padre. Gracias por el esfuerzo de Jesucristo que hizo en la cruz para darnos salvación, darnos vida eterna. Y bendice la mente y el corazón de cada joven aquí, Señor, que la semilla que se ha sido plantada, que ha sido para bien. Y en tu nombre, Jesús, oramos. Amén.
I hope that your mind and heart have been stirred, and you leave this morning just with a heart filled with gratitude and anticipation, just that God is at work. He is at work in the lives of these students, and he's also at work in your life. And just as was said, that it doesn't have to happen over there, that God is always at work. And just hope that as you leave this morning, that your heart is, you leave with a heart full of just gratitude and joy, just in hearing these good reports. I do want to, as we close this morning, I want to read one portion of scripture that I think fits with what we've heard this morning. Before I do that, though, as I was listening to them this morning, it occurred to me that we do need to make one change around here, and that is that starting in the fall, we're going to get rid of our coffee, and in its place, we're going to bring in the chicha, okay? How does that sound? Sound good to you? Sound like a good move? All right. I can tell. I can tell you're excited. I want you to hear these words. Jesus speaking to his disciples at the well when he spoke in regards to the woman who came to the well, and then she left, and Jesus spoke these words to the disciples. Do you not say that there are 4 months? And then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Right now, look and see that the fields are white for harvest. Not some other time, not down the road, not in another place. Look and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already, the one who reaps is receiving his wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Doesn't matter what your talent, gift, capacity, place is. God has a place for you to join in with the work. Whether it's in Ecuador or in Stanton, Virginia, makes no difference. The difference is, are you looking and seeing that the fields are white for harvest, wherever you are? May God help our church, Stanton Alliance Church, to be doing what these students and adults were learning, that God is always at work. So often we're missing it because we're thinking about this, that, and the other thing, or our plan. May the Lord help us to look and see that the harvest is white and that he is at work if we will only look to him. Many of you have been praying as we, over the past year or so, that the Lord would raise up workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Many of you have been praying that. I want to challenge you as a church that you would redouble your effort. If you have kind of fallen off the wagon, get back on it. And begin asking the Lord that he would raise up workers and push them out of our church. It might be just across the street, or it might be across the world. That's up to God. But may we become a church that's looking and seeing that the harvest is plentiful and that our God is great. Would you join with me as we pray and just ask God's blessing? Father in heaven, we thank you for this service, for all the things that you have done and all the things that you're yet to do. Bless us, we pray. Fill our minds and our hearts with the knowledge of you, and help us, O God, to look and see what's all around us, and that you are sufficient if we will only look to you. Bless your people, I pray, for this week. Any and every situation that we go into, that we might see that you are there. In Jesus' name, amen.